want to see. And Dobby, the 10th reindeer, knew just where he'd be. "Come with me," said Dobby, taking them by the hand. "Let's visit Santa's grotto, his winter wonderland. Bring your little ones to meet Santa at Dobby's Garden Centres. Grotto tickets are $11.99 and include a toy from brands such as Lego or Big Jigs. Book now at dobbys.com. Dobby's, where Christmas comes together. Toy brands subject to availability.
Have lots of festive fun at Glasgow Royal Concert Hall. Book now for the Christmas Spectacular, the ultimate Christmas party. Play Clyde One.
On your smart speaker,
mobile,
and your radio.
Across Glasgow and the West.
This
is Clyde One.
The SNP and the Lib Dems have lost a legal challenge against ITV over its refusal to host the party's leaders in an election debate tomorrow night. High Court judges say the channel isn't breaking the rules with its planned head-to-head between Boris Johnson and Jeremy Corbyn. But the SNP's Westminster leader Ian Blackford says it's unacceptable.
What is the most important, the first debate that's taking place tomorrow night? One where many people that are undecided, those that perhaps are not engaged in politics on a day-to-day basis, will take their opinions from that first debate. And it is absolutely outrageous that the Scottish National Party, the third party in Westminster, are not permitted to take place in that debate.
A woman's in hospital after being knocked down near a Bearsden primary school. It happened around 4:10 this afternoon, close to St Nicholas on Duntalker Road. Her condition isn't yet known and the road remains closed. Now, there's concern staff shortages are putting cancer survival rates in Scotland in jeopardy. Around 1 in 5 patients weren't seen within the 6-week target during June, according to a Scottish Parliament cross-party report. Labour MSP Anna Sarwar is a member of the group.
I think quite often our public debate is fixated on the money debate about the resource, when in actual fact I think the biggest challenge in our NHS is the workforce, because we're asking too few people to do too much work.
The Scottish Government says it's spending £100 million on improving survival rates. It's emerged a number of companies are reviewing their associations with Prince Andrew following his TV interview about paedophile friend Jeffrey Epstein. KPMG's understood to have decided against renewing its sponsorship of the Duke of York scheme for young entrepreneurs. From next year, child witnesses in Scotland will have the option to pre-record their evidence for court. It'll be rolled out for the most severe cases initially, such as murder, trafficking and sex abuse. And it seems fewer of us are getting on with our neighbours nowadays. That's despite 3 in 5 people surveyed saying they're quiet and courteous. The best neighbourly traits include keeping an eye on the house during holidays, not being nosy and taking in parcels.
Weather.
With Waterman Solicitors. From road accidents to workplace injuries, Waterman's put it right.
A dry evening ahead, and it'll be very cold overnight with long clear spells and lows of -3. That's the latest. I'm Selena Jackson.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Hello and welcome to Monday's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It is Stephen Mill in for Gordon Duncan. We will hear from the wee man in the next 20 minutes, so don't worry, we haven't kidnapped him. We will be back later on in the week. We are in the middle of a Scotland doubleheader, of course. Part one is complete after a 2-1 win out in Cyprus, thanks to Ryan Christie and John McGinn, and a lack of goal line technology in Nicosia as well. It's Kazakhstan up next tomorrow at Hampden, but really, all eyes are on the playoffs in March. But should the SPFL cease hostilities for a weekend for the benefit of the national interest? After all, we are all Scotland fans, aren't we? In the studio tonight, I have with me Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
It's like this. In an ideal world, there would be a week-long training camp for Scotland ahead of the Euro 2020 playoff semi-final in March. But we live in a wee world of our own up here. There are more people, in my belief, who would rather see their team win the league title this season than care whether or not Scotland qualify for Euro 2020. Club football trumps international football every time. And the irony is that the only way Scotland can improve is to have things like these unscheduled training camps. But the football fans, particularly those of Celtic and Rangers, are not having it.
Yeah, I think in an ideal world, Hugh, you are absolutely right in terms of, you know, you would like to get that time to try and get the international group together to go through the qualifiers. But I think with the importance and particularly the, you know, the timing of it all, it'd be extremely difficult to try and get that to happen. In terms of the weekend, here, I thought back-to-back wins for Steve Clarke. Couldn't ask. We spoke a few weeks ago about the importance of getting that, getting into the game tomorrow night, and it's an opportunity, regardless of what Steve Clarke says, it's an opportunity for revenge on the disappointment of the 3-0 defeat in last March.
And before the Celtic and Rangers fans, Stephen, think, oh, you're always blaming us, I wouldn't have the camp for one simple reason. Kieran Tierney can't get there. Andy Robertson can't get there.
McGinn.
Scott McTominay can't get there. John McGinn can't get there. All the big hitters that we have from England's Premier League can't get there because they've got fixtures that weekend, and there's no chance in this world of any of those guys being allowed up here for a training camp.
If you agree or disagree, you can get in touch at Clyde SSB on Twitter, or you can pick up the phone and give us a call to vent your frustrations or your agreement on 0141 951 1025. Elsewhere today, Jack Ross was unveiled as the Hibs boss as well. Is he the right man to take the Hibs back in the right direction after the disaster that was Paul Heckingbottom? We'll hear from him a little bit later on in the show. But let's start by talking about our performances and howlers and best goals of the weekend. We will continue that. Hugh, would you like to go first?
I'll take the result of the weekend. Rangers under 21s 2, Wrexham 0. They're into the last four of the Challenge Cup, and there were over 5,500 people at Ibrox to see that game at the weekend. I think if Rangers got to the final of the Challenge Cup, they could break the 25,000 barrier.
For me, it was a Scotland result. Can you imagine the backlash we would have tonight if they had lost over in Cyprus?
Yeah.
And, you know, I know it wasn't a vintage performance, but the result is more important at this present time.
In terms of a goal of the weekend, Hugh?
Timu Pukki.
What?
Yes. He scored twice for Finland to beat Liechtenstein 3-0. And Finland thereby qualified for Euro 2020, the first time I've ever been to a major competition. Timu Pukki, the man who, when he was at Celtic, couldn't have kicked doors at Halloween.
For me, it was Ryan Christie's goal. I thought it was right out of the top drawer. Execution, you know, he was brilliant coming off the line, and it just gave us that little lift that we needed.
It was a cracking strike. Timu Pukki, just for a second, he got 9 goals in 38 appearances for Celtic.
Really, that's one in just... One and four.
So yeah, it's not a great statistic. But since then, he's got 36 and 56 for Norwich, and he's got 20 goals in 75 for Finland.
He's been sensational for Norwich.
Yeah,
I remember some of his appearances for Celtic, and he just looked fish out of water, caught in the wrong movie, rabbit in the headlights. Use any cliche that you wish, but he's been sensational for Norwich, and it's a wonderful achievement for Finland, and congratulations to him.
And Ryan Christie, I think, well deserving of the best goal at the weekend. It was a cracking strike, and actually all three goals in that match. Cyprus's goal was fantastic, but even Scotland's winning goal, which was from John McGinn, which is his fourth goal in two internationals, it was really well worked. Great play by Forrest and Taylor down the left hand side, and a cracking finish as well.
It was a really well constructed goal, and I think the way that he guided it, you know, because the pace was on the cross, you know, you just guide it back into the corner where it came from. I thought it was a brilliant goal, and it was needed at that time because Cyprus were really starting to ramp up the pressure.
In terms of where we go from here, it's Kazakhstan tomorrow night. It's not, you know, I think you described it a little bit earlier on, Hugh, in the office, as the most dead rubber match you've ever
heard of. Yeah, it's a dead rubber of all dead rubbers. The weather is diabolical. It's a school night. There's nothing to be gained other than a little bit of prestige, 3 wins in a row for the first time in 3 years. But it's hard to sell that to the public.
It really is. I don't know what the crowd is expected to be tomorrow night, but I don't think it will be. Yeah. I don't think it will be a lot, Alex Ray.
No, but I think when you take into consideration that we said a couple of weeks ago that we felt as if we had to win the 3 games to try and get some sort of momentum going into these playoffs, I think if you say to Steve Clarke it's a dead rubber, he would be total opposite, due to the fact is if they lose, the pressure comes on them for starters, and then you start questioning. We go back to square one. If he wins, you're thinking, right, okay, we've got something going back in. But I think the important thing tomorrow night also is the performance.
Yeah. Let's hear from the manager, Steve Clarke. He was speaking to the press today.
For me, football's never about revenge. It's all about the game coming up. What happened before. We want to finish the campaign on a positive for ourselves. We want to finish third in the in the section, which is the best we can do now, and that's what we'll be focusing on. We wanted to produce a big win against one of the top two seeds in the group. We didn't manage to do that. So the next best thing for us is to secure the third spot.
Let's go to our first caller of the night. It's Archie from Shawlands. And having a wee blether in the background there, Archie. You're live on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Hey, what's your point? You want to talk about Scotland, yeah?
Yeah, just about the apathy there, Hugh Keevans. How honestly, cheer up, Hugh. We win a game. We've won two in a row. We've gone for three in a row. Try and sell the match, for heaven's sake. What I would say is, Stephen Clarke's doing a good job now. When he first got the job, I phoned up and they say Scotland's fortune will change under this manager because he knows what he's doing. And even the players are coming out and saying they know what he's doing and he's a good manager. OK, we've only beat Cyprus and we've only beat San Marino and we'll probably beat Kazakhstan tomorrow. But you need confidence in football. And confidence is a great thing. And hopefully, when we get to next year, we'll have the absentees that will suddenly appear because they've got a chance to qualify for a championships when they should have been there in the first place.
Oh, cheer up, Archie. They were there.
Mr. Keevans.
They weren't there because they were injured. They couldn't be there.
Yeah, that's what they say anyway. That's what the foreign managers will say.
Oh, you're so cynical, Archie. Really and truly.
I think if you could both... Do you not get Archie's point, though? Should you be a wee bit enthusiastic? It could be three wins on the spin, Hugh.
Yeah, I was the one who raised that point. First time in 3 years. However, we're only assessing things on a game-by-game basis, and it's a hard sell for the SFA. It's not my job to sell it. It's the SFA's job to sell it. And it's a hard sell for them because of the way the group has progressed. The best we can do is to finish up where we were seeded, which is third, but that is not a box office attraction for people.
I think when you listen to Steve Clarke there as well, actually, he was talking about, you know, third spot, you know, in terms of the qualifications, you know, Belgium and Russia was always going to be a hard task. I think they're doing what they're doing, and they will finish third in the group. In terms of the absentees, I think that's an interesting one. I would invoke the players if they thought that they could pitch up 4 or 5 days later and play for their teams. I would invoke it because it's getting to the stage now under Alec McLeish, players were going, oh wait a minute, you know, they don't want to play for him and so forth, and now it's the injury things. Invoke it. So put the rule in place, and then if they're not pitching up, they're not fit for their team in the coming weekend.
Archie, would you invoke that law if you were in charge as well?
Yes, I'd invoke them all because they're all bloody useless anyway. They play for him, keep getting beat. All these big players. The wee players are the best. But what I will say is,
come on, Archie, stop being negative. We're trying to talk the game up.
Cheer up, Archie.
What I will say is, before Christmas comes, I'm going to send Hugh Keevans a big teddy bear.
Oh, very nice. I can pass it on to one of my granddaughters.
You've just missed his birthday, Archie. You could have got something in last week.
He likes teddy bears, Archie.
Oh no, don't you start that.
Right, Archie, thanks very much for giving us a call, pal. Thank you very much. In terms of what's happening on at Clyde SSB as well, Stephen's given us a shout. Hugh Keevans couldn't be any more wrong, re the Kazakhstan game. The confidence going into these qualifiers next week is immeasurable. Poor call.
Well, they're not going to the qualifiers next week. Not until March.
Until March, yes.
So get your calendar right. I agree with Stevie Clarke. It's nothing to do with revenge. All the trouble started in Kazakhstan, a 3-0 defeat. It contributed towards Alec McLeish losing his job. It brought Stevie Clarke in. But we're not exactly going to be holding open-top bus parades if we beat Kazakhstan. It's simply the end to a group that did not go as well as we had hoped.
Yeah, would you agree with that though, in terms of we're going to finish third? That's probably, if you look at Russia and Belgium, they are stronger than us.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. No, listen, it's an interesting one about revenge, but you do want, it's a strong word, revenge, you know, sort of, but what you do want to do is you want to turn them over because you want to show that was a one-off, you know. We were expected to go and beat them over there. However, you're coming back to Hampden. Yeah, I reckon it'll be about 20,000 or so there, possibly, Hugh, you know, depending if they can get some of the kids.
I'm looking at the bigger picture, Alec. You know, what will it take to make us do better than finish where we were seeded? Because that, in harsh terms, is basically standing still. Mm. You know, the trick is to finish higher than you were seeded, and then we might get somewhere for the first time in 22 years. I think we've still got defensive deficiencies.
Me too.
To worry about. And we do need we are crying out for a striker. The problem is, he simply does not exist. I can't think of anyone other than Lee Griffiths, but Lee Griffiths has played 5 games in the calendar year. 5.
Yeah.
Therefore, he's away yet. If we had a striker of a prolific nature and a central defensive partnership, and it could complement what we have in midfield,
yeah,
which is a pretty wide array of talent, then we'd be on our way. But I cannot for the life of me think of where we get them.
Hugh and myself were having a wee chat because you turned to me and said Eamon Brophy's been called up to the squad, and I had this exact same conversation with my mate earlier on, and he was like, Eamon Brophy, you know, I mean, is that where we're at? And I went, who else would you call up?
No, I think that's a good question in terms of who you could call up now. I think McBurney come on the other day, you know, a £20 million striker who isn't playing. You know, I'm looking at your face here, Stephen, and it's not as if you're infused with that option. But when you look at McBurney, the level, even if you take last year's exploits, 24 goals, I think he got in the championship, Hugh, and then you look at Brophy, I still feel as if there's a big gap for Brophy to even get to that level. So it doesn't excite me either. And I take Hugh's point on board. And I said this for a long, long time, Hugh, even under Alex McLeish, if you don't have a striker, how do you win games?
Yeah. Our good fortune is that Christie, in, I hate the expression false number nine, because false for me means fake.
Mm-hmm.
Christie is able to score. Forrest is able to score. And John McGinn, who's got 5 goals and 5 international appearances now. It's just as well we have them.
Exactly. This is where we are at this stage. We're probably going to finish third, all things considered, unless we get beat tomorrow night at home to Kazakhstan and somehow Cyprus beat Belgium. That's where we are in this group. Looking forward to March then. The draw is this coming Friday. We will play at Hampden in March either Israel, Bulgaria or Romania. It's a one-off tie at Hampden. Surely, if you want to be qualifying for major tournaments, that shouldn't hold many fears for you, those three teams.
I don't think we're entitled to take that view, Stephen, simply for the reason that we've let ourselves down so often in the past. I would agree with you that at Hampden, with a good crowd behind us, we would have to start as favourites. Surely we have not receded to the extent that you wouldn't be favourites against Romania at Hampden or Israel. So if we could find someone to stick the ball in the net, I'd feel happier. But I still think we would beat any of those.
Israel, we already beat last year in the Nations Cup, of course, Alex. Any fears there for you?
No, you take into consideration, you know, that we beat them last year. I see Bulgaria got a decent result. I think that the weekend there against the Czech Republic, who are not a bad outfit. Romania, I haven't got a chance to see too much of them recently. But on paper, you would like to think. But coming back to Hugh's point, you know, I think in any given day, I think there's a, you know, a banana skin in there. But the fact that you're at home, surely you would have a fighting chance.
Yeah, Israel obviously beat us away from home in that UEFA Nations League. If we go hypothetical and we manage to get through that tie, we will then have an either home or away tie. Again, just a one-off game against Norway or Serbia. Now again, at home, that shouldn't hold too many fears for us, Hugh. Are you going to be positive about this one?
I'm trying to be positive. I'm also perhaps scarred by the last 22 years of non-qualification and the things that have gone wrong. I think we will qualify, despite the shortcomings in central defence and up front. I believe in Steve Clarke and his sense of organisation. I believe in Christie and Ryan Jack and John McGinn and James Forrest and Callum McGregor. I believe with that handful, there's always hope.
Yeah, I think when you mentioned Serbia there, I think Serbia won the World Cup Under-20s a couple of years ago, so they've got some emerging talent. So again, it'd be difficult. Did you actually say that the second leg is at Hampden as well?
No, it's a draw for that, so we'll find out on Friday. It's going to be drawn home or away.
Toss a coin, don't they?
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah.
So
well, listen, I think if we had either Norway or Serbia at home, Hugh, you would like to think a full house with a kind of possibilities of going to a major tournament for the first time in 20 years, you would have the Tartan Army rocking on the back of, because you would have 4 wins in the bounce if we can get a result tomorrow night. So there would be momentum going into that.
There is also a Norwegian striker I'd like to point out as well. He plays for RB Salzburg and he's scored 5 hat-tricks so far this season. He's 19 years old. He's 6'4". His name's Erling Braut Haaland. And he's
a decent player, huh?
He's a no-bad player. So maybe come next March we might be discussing him. But this is the question we're asking tonight. In terms of, would you rather the Scottish national team qualify for a major tournament and all the benefits that brings for Scottish football, or are you single track minded on your club winning a trophy, or if it's Celtic or Rangers, winning the league? If you had that choice put in front of you right now, what would you do? Hugh Keevans, what do you think?
I think Celtic and Rangers fans would rather win the league than Scotland qualified, if that was a choice.
What a terrible question. If you're a Rangers or Celtic fan, you are categoric what you want your club football team to win that, without a doubt.
Do you not want to, you know, it would benefit the entire country though if Scotland qualify for a major tournament? It's going to be here. Euro 2020 is going to be here in Glasgow.
When we do the international breaks, and they're finished, the excitement leading back up to the domestic football supersedes where we are at the moment for me. Because if you look at, for me, there is an apathy about Scottish national team, and there's an excitement about the league this year. I think the league's more prevalent.
Celtic and Rangers fans find the international break an irritation.
They do, I'm sure. And that's why they're phoning right now on 0141 951 1025. There has been a suggestion that the SPFL might give the weekend before the playoffs a complete blank so that Steve Clark will have that time. We mentioned it at the top of the show. If you have an opinion on that, then you can call us right now on 0141 951 1025. Should Steve Clark get that extra time to possibly take Scotland into a major tournament in the first time in more than 20 years? We will discuss that and we'll hear more from the Scotland manager after we get the latest on the roads with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Welcome back to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. It is Stephen Mill in for Gordon Duncan, Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans in the studio and on the line right now, the aforementioned Gordon Duncan. How you doing, mate?
Hi guys, first time caller. Go easy on me.
Gordon from Motherwell, I should have gave you the proper intro there. So listen, explain to people what has happened if they haven't been on your social media, why I'm here and you're not, basically.
Right, how long have you got? You're going to have to extend the show to get the full story. And so if I can take you back to Thursday night when I was feeling suitably smug, I was on my way to Glasgow Airport. I was going to Dubai for a few days, thinking, what a joy. Imagine swapping, staring at Mark Wilson and Gordon Biel for the chance to go to Dubai, feeling great about myself, apart from a little bit of pain in my stomach, which turned out to be appendicitis. Made it as far as the front door of Glasgow Airport, turned around, and by Friday evening I had the appendix removed and I'm now in my sick bed. So there we go.
Well, you see, I was going to buy you grapes, but then they said that, oh, he's not coming in, he's just doing it on the phone, so I kept the money.
Yeah.
Not surprised to hear that.
Gordon, when I actually seen the picture of your bed on social media, I was going, that's got to be the worst room in Dubai. It's a shocking picture.
Well, the worst of it is I then had to sit and watch the Scotland game in the hospital ward, so you can imagine what that was doing for my blood pressure, watching some of that defending as well. So it's an interesting weekend to say the least.
All right then, the question is, would you rather Motherwell won the league or Scotland qualified for Euro 2020?
I cannot believe you. What has this show become in my absence? Is that the level of debate we're getting into? Oh my goodness. Now, I am a passionate Scottish football fan, a passionate Scotland fan, I should say, as you well know. Uh-huh. Given the likelihood, I couldn't vote against the Steelmen on that one. I don't think. Nah, I couldn't. I never live with myself.
Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, I rest my case.
Well, listen, my finger was hovering over the dump button there, Gordon. I've been getting used to that over the last few days, but hopefully you'll be back very soon, right? You're not going to leave me here for too long, especially before... I tell you what, right? If it gets that bad, we'll just send Gordon DL and Mark Wilson round to your house on Thursday. How about that?
By the way, I think that could be a shout. I know Gordon DL would love that. He would save a bit on his petrol money. He likes a good bargain, as you well know. So we'll see how we go. A fitness test over the next couple of days. and see how we get on.
Excellent.
Be right. Your recovery, Gordon.
Exactly. Yeah, get well soon. And
have a good one.
Right, cheers, Gordon. Thanks very much. That's Gordon from Motherwell there on the line. Back to Scotland then. So that's Gordon's opinion. He'd rather Motherwell win the league. So what do you think? 0141 951 1025. Would you forego a league title? Or, you know, like, I'm a Dunfermline fan, so we are realistically never going to win the league title. But,
correct.
But, you know, we might win a Scottish Cup in our time. It's happened before. I don't know how I would feel. You know, you've got Scotland. It's the national. That's what we want. We want a buzz about the national team again, don't we?
I don't doubt that there is one, but it's a muted buzz at the moment. Yeah, they need to get a better side, a more exciting side. But Steve Clarke is doing the best with what he has at his disposal.
This is what he had to say when it was put to him a little bit earlier on at the press conference about whether the SPFL should aid him and give him a free weekend before the playoffs.
You want the governing bodies to do all they can to help. We understand, everybody understands that there may be some restrictions in there, but I think where there's a will, there's a way. But for now, the most important thing for me is to concentrate on the game tomorrow night and make sure that we have a good win and a good performance. I think this is more a discussion for having after we have the playoff, the draw. Everybody knows whether it's two home games, whether it's a home game and away game. So I think rather than speaking about that before, what I feel, and maybe some people don't feel, but I feel is a very important fixture for us tomorrow night. I think it's better to speak after.
I think before we lump all of this onto the shoulders of the SPFL, and everybody likes to give Neil Doncaster a going over at every opportunity, before we do that, I go back to the point, you won't get the English contingent, and they are big players. Tierney, Robertson, McTominay, McGinn, they are big players, and they're not coming here. They will not be allowed to leave Arsenal and Man U and Liverpool to come up here for a training camp. So for me, the training camp would be rendered meaningless. Also, the Saturday before the training camp would theoretically begin, Rangers play Celtic at Ibrox on the 14th of March. Now, regardless of the outcome of that game, the tension is going to be rising to an almost unbearable level in the title race. And then you're going to tell the supporters, actually, there's no league football next weekend. Scotland are having a training camp. For that reason, and because the English contingent are unavailable, it's a non-starter.
I think it becomes extremely difficult when you're excluding four or five of your key players, when you're trying to do preparation, set plays, shadow and so forth. But I can totally understand why Steve Clarke would try and get the boys for longer, because it's in his interest. You know, he may be able to put some things together and then integrate the boys when they do pitch up. But I do not see it happening. I just think it's really difficult to facilitate.
Joe from Rob Royston has joined us on the line. You are on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You're a Celtic fan, but you'd love to see Scotland a major tournament, wouldn't you, Joe?
Yeah, absolutely. This is just that high panel. It's an honour to be on the show.
Hi, Joe.
But no, definitely, if I'd been a Scotland fan, I would do it absolutely. I'd actually do absolutely anything to see Scotland qualify for a major tournament. It's, I don't think there's, I think there's been a lack of patriotism when it comes to supporting Scotland. I go to most of the games. I can't even try and travel to away matches. And there's just been a different, there isn't that buzz that we, way that it used to be.
But that's caused by non-success, I think. I don't think it's caused by a lack of patriotism. Attendances will fall at club grounds if the team's not successful. Attendances will fall at international matches if Scotland are not successful. People remain patriotic, but they prefer to see a winning team, Joe.
Absolutely. I do want to see Celtic obviously win 10 in a row. I think that would be fantastic for the club and for Scottish football to see my team do so successfully. But
would you sacrifice it, Joe?
Yeah, I would. I mean, how much a lot of people might disagree with that. Scotland is Scotland. It's your home. It's everything. You know what I mean, and to not, the club will do well, but to have the country not do well in 22, 23 years, we definitely need to qualify, and I think the whole nation needs to support that.
You're an honest man and a magnanimous man, but I think you're a minority man.
And are you going tomorrow night, Joe?
I'm going tomorrow night, yes. I've even been lucky enough to my boss to let me off the Wednesday, so hopefully it'll be festivities once we beat Kazakhstan.
Well, fingers crossed, absolutely, yes. So, Joe, I'm not sure. I think I might be with Hugh or Alex here. I think that most Celtic fans might not agree with you. If you do not agree with Joe, who would sacrifice 10 in a row to see Scotland qualify for a major tournament, it's 0141 951 1025. What are you looking for from tomorrow night's match, Joe? Are you looking for just an improved performance ahead of the playoffs in March?
Definitely, it'd be good to kind of see our defence getting sorted out. Some definitely high pressure moments from passing on from Saturday. I'd like to see a comfortable win, even to try and keep a clean sheet would be a must for Steve Clarke. I can definitely see him saying that in his talk before the game is putting that key point across there. Just getting the job done. We've got the quality in the middle, and like I say, we have got the options up top, but we need to secure that defence. That I think that's our main one, to protect that 18-yard box and make it a fortress, especially at Hampden.
Yeah, they're going to have to do that, Joe, because if they eventually get to play Serbia, you know, you look at some of the players. I've got the boy Mitrovic playing up top for him. He's a very good player. I saw him at close hand when he was at Anderlecht when I was over there. So you've got him. You've got the boy Tadic, who's a decent footballer as well. You've got the boy Milenkovic for the middle of the park. So they have to sort the back door. It looks a wee bit kind of dishevelled at the moment. You know, they get turned inside out several times the other day, and I think that's partly because of the amount of changes that's happening in that area, Hugh.
Yeah. We still have the famous five though. McGinn, Jack, Christie, Forrest, McGregor, and let me say the famous six, Naismith. Naismith did a great job in his 50th cap. We have the players going forward to beat Kazakhstan, and then the whole thing literally goes into cold storage. Because it's March that becomes important. Yeah. As long as they finish on a high note tomorrow, and with those six players, that's eminently possible. And then we'll deal with March when March comes.
Big debate on at Clyde SSB as well. I'm not sure who this guy supports, but his handle is another season, another treble. So yet another pointless, useless international break. As if we didn't have enough of these useless, pointless internationals, they've come up with the Nations League. Now this potential SBFL postponement, I hope it's just a proposal and nothing comes of it. Joe, thank you very much for being on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Let's speak to Alex in Sandy Hills. What is your point, Alex? Are you all for the greater good of Scotland, or would you take the league every time?
League every time. Hello, Stephen. Hello, Hugh and Alec.
Hi, Alex.
Hi. No, I mean, was your big birthday last week? Hugh, is that right?
It was correct, yeah.
Aye, well, I'm a year older. I'll be another 3 weeks, 1 year older anyway.
Happy birthday, when it comes.
You too. As you'll know, I've seen Celtic winning more than all the trophies put together. I've been fortunate enough to see more than half of them, and I hope to see another couple of leagues coming. There's no way I would put Scotland in front of Celtic winning a league, no chance.
Well, you know, it's everyone's prerogative.
Yes, yes. The point before that is quite right. Yeah. It's his way.
Yeah, you're both.
I don't get any problem.
You're both right. You know, he has his view. You have yours. You are the guys who pay the money. It's people who don't pay the money and don't go to football matches may listen and tut tut. But the genuine fans who get out there,
yeah,
they pay their money and they're entitled to hold their opinion.
I actually think that it was refreshing to hear Joe saying that, because for me, I think he is in the minority. I think the majority of fans, because of where we are, Celtic's gone for 9, Rangers haven't won for the same period. So, you know, they have to be looking to try and wrestle whatever way it is, that SPFL title for me.
You know, I was looking over social media the weekend, and there was a lot of chat. Ryan Jack had a pretty decent game, I thought, on Saturday. Yep, yep. I thought he played quite well. Obviously, Ryan Christie played well. Two big, important players for both Celtic and Rangers.
Yes.
Alex, what would your opinion be? Obviously, you wouldn't like it, but are you worried that when you see Ryan Christie, Callum McGregor, who's played a heck of a lot of matches over the past 2 or 3 seasons, do you think this is just a, you know, an opportunity for them to get injured more than anything?
Yeah, well, that's the way I think it. It concerns me, definitely. You know, listen, I mean, although I want Celtic to do that, I would like to see Scotland win as well, obviously, you know, but if it was a choice between the two, I would go with Celtic 100%. But yes, it does concern me, Celtic players playing in some of these games, you know.
I think at the back of every Celtic supporter's mind is John Kennedy, who, for me, would have had another 15 years as a Celtic player, who had the potential to be the best centre-back that Celtic have had since Billy McNeil, and it all went up in smoke one night in a friendly international at Hampden. So you're entitled to have that thought in your subconscious. But you know, it could happen in training.
Yeah, I think that's one of the factors. You know, most of the boys do want to be part of the international scene, otherwise they wouldn't pitch up you. And they try and give their all. And as you rightly said, you can get injured at any time, Hugh. Yeah. You know, whether it's training, you know, an innocuous rolling of the ankle, it could be anything. So, you know, the thing is, you just have to cross your fingers, hope that your players get back unscathed and are ready for a selection the following weekend.
But right. With regard to McGregor, he's not normal.
No.
He just goes on and on and on and on and on and on. Club football, European football, international football, and is excellent at all levels.
Yeah, he certainly is. He's been fantastic the past few years.
Sure.
Oh, sorry, Alex, on you go.
It's Duracell batteries.
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
That's exactly it. Thanks for giving us a call, Alex. We'll continue to take your calls. 0141 951 1025. Would you take Scotland over winning the league or vice versa? We had two conflicting opinions there. It seems pretty unanimous in the studio. 0141 951 1025.
Clyde One's Cash for Kids Mission Christmas. In partnership with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington. Proud to support Cash for Kids.
Okay, so Christmas should be a time for families and celebration. Unfortunately, for thousands of children across Glasgow and the West, it's just another day. So we want to make Christmas Day a different day for these kids. Different means having money in the meter, a hot meal, or maybe a small gift as well. We can make this happen by supporting Clyde One's Cash for Kids at Mission Christmas this year. To hear exactly what a difference your money makes, there is so many things on ClydeOne.com. You can check out there. You can see all the people that we help over the past few years, and it really does make a difference. And we can't always make it a magical day, but with your help we can make it a different day for thousands of kids across Glasgow and the West. Now listen, what you can do is get to ClydeOne.com. You can download a pack there, you can donate money to this year's Mission Christmas appeal, and you can do that at ClydeOne.com. and that is Cash for Kids Mission Christmas with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington and Clyde One. We will continue to take your calls, 0141 951 1025, and we'll get the latest on the roads with Amber next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Welcome back to the show. Just after 7:15 now, and it's Stephen Mill in for Gordon Duncan. I've got Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans in the studio. Let's go straight to the lines and chat to Alan. We're talking Scotland, a club over country. Alan, where do you stand on this? I think your line's a wee bit rubbish there, Alan, and we'll try and call you back and get you back on in just a wee second. But I think Alan's point was going to be that I think in the vast majority, as you've been saying, Hugh Keevans, and even on Twitter, we're getting so, like Joe, the previous caller, who was a Celtic fan, who said that he would forgo 10 in a row for Scotland qualifying for a major tournament. That hasn't gone down very well on Twitter, at Clyde SSB, if you want to get involved, and also 0141 951 1025.
It used to be that these things could exist in tandem. You could have a Scotland side with a huge support at Hampden, and you could have Celtic and Rangers, in fact, winning European trophies, never mind winning the league. But now we've become a changed world. We've got a very narrow-minded attitude to it all. Club rivalry in this part of the world, I think, is greater than any time I can ever, ever remember. And if they're given a choice, club or country, there is no choice. They'll take club every time.
Alan, we have you back in line. Hopefully your lines will be better. And would you agree with Hugh then there?
I kind of missed the start of that, but the end of it, yeah, of course I agree, absolutely, but I don't think you're any different from, I don't think it's a Scottish supporter thing, you know. I think it's quite a general thing, that opinion, and there's no reason why both the things can't happen.
That's true.
Yeah, absolutely. It's Alan. It's a hypothetical question, but you know, I think you're absolutely right. I think most people would go for the club over country, and I think you're absolutely right in terms of other, you know, if you go down to England, you go to, when saying that, you know, the old English have been shouting and bawling for about 50 years about the World Cup for you, so they'll be looking to try and get that again. But I think most fans across, you know, Belgium, Holland, France and so forth, they would look for the club team over their national team.
If you're an old geezer like me, it's quite ironic. In 1967, Celtic won the European Cup, first British club to do so. Scotland were still, let me get this right now, 9 years had gone by since they last played at a World Cup, and another 7 years would go by before they actually did it again.
Yeah.
Celtic won the European Cup. Rangers won in Barcelona in 1972.
Cup winners.
And at that time, we couldn't get an international team to get to the finals of a major tournament. 1958 until 1974, that was the wait, 16 years. And we won two European trophies in that time. So the irony then was that we had fantastic Celtic and Rangers sides and we couldn't get a decent international team. And now we've got Celtic and Rangers again and we're still looking for an international team.
Yeah, Alan, I know it's all hypothetical and, you know, it's never going to be a one or the other. But can you see, obviously, the obvious benefit of Scotland qualifying for a major tournament? You just need to see what happened with Northern Ireland and Wales. Obviously, Wales went on a crazy run to the semi-finals. I'm not suggesting that for a second, but that would just lift the entire country and really put a focus back on Scotland.
I remember the Republic of Ireland kind of run about the 1990, Hugh, with Mick McCarthy and so forth. And
Pat Bonner, yeah.
Yeah, Pat Bonner, a very, very good team. And the upshot from that was there was a generation on the back of that, your Robbie Keane's and so forth, you know, in terms of, you know, the prestige. And it got the country loving football again. So, you know, you got a wee upshot in terms of the kind of turnover of players. So, and it's the whole thing. You know, I remember playing with Mick McCarthy at the time. He was bringing out books, captain fantastic so far. So if the Scotland players are listening, the opportunity to bring out a book, you might get a few quid. Surely that's going to be worth it.
Alan, do you want to come back in?
No, I agree with you totally. You know, a good question would be Scotland to win the World Cup against that would kind of make it a bit more of a difficult decision.
I give you this guarantee. not in my lifetime, but the rest of you are younger.
Yeah, I think it's 10 to 7 a wee bit early to start drinking tonight, Alan. So,
I know, but I'm just, you know what I mean? That would put you in a bit more of a difficult situation answering that question.
Yeah. Right, well, what do you think?
It's also hypothetical.
That's true. Alex, what would you take? A Scotland World Cup win? Or.
I think if you again, I would actually say the Rangers and Celtic fans would most certainly. But listen,
even then,
because the thing is, you can't walk about the streets of Glasgow and go, "Aye, we won the World Cup." Whereas you go, "Oh, it's 9 in a row. Or we stopped you winning 9 in a row." The punters just want the bragging rights.
Yeah, it's a changed world, but it's a funny old game.
Yeah, it certainly is. Thank you very much to Alan, and keep your calls coming in. 0141 951 1025. I got an interesting stat earlier on. My sources,
we love stats.
Sources at the Scottish FA. I told you this earlier on, but Alex, you're new to this. So somebody told me last year about the Scottish Supporters Club's members, right? So
yes.
I think there's 15,000 or something like that.
Is this the Tartan Army, effectively? Yes.
The Tartan Army. So the guys who are buying the season tickets, who are going home and away,
yep.
The real diehard fans. What club in Scotland do you think makes up the biggest percentage of those fans? Because when you sign up, there's a wee drop down box and you can put in
the team you support.
Yeah.
I know the answer.
The club team.
Oh, right. Okay. I am going to go for Celtic.
Celtic is the incorrect answer. Oh. Rangers fans make up the most amount of Scotland Supporters Club members.
Maybe I'm getting confused with social media and the real world, because social media would have you believe that the SFA were complicit in Rangers going down to the fourth tier of Scottish football, and therefore, since the SFA run the international team, be gone. But you have surprised me.
Yeah.
Did it give a percentage in terms of?
It wasn't over 50% or anything like that. I think it was probably about 20%, 15-20%. Then it was Celtic and Aberdeen that were pretty close, and then
in terms
just
of percentage from first to second, then what would it have been? Do you know?
I don't have those. I don't have that information.
Can we get our source at the SFA to drop you a text?
I certainly can. Yeah, if he's listening, Michael.
That's actually surprising to me, because there's a perception that Rangers fans don't follow the national team.
They don't agree with the SFA. They hold the SFA responsible for their club's ills. Not totally responsible, but they were, according to some, complicit in what happened. But again, that, as I say, there's the real world And then there's the world of social media.
The interesting thing about that is, in terms of that would go against that perception, you know, where you're talking about that they're against them. They might have been against them in terms of the handling of certain situations. However, that statistic tells you the opposite. And we had somebody, was it Joe earlier on, talking about being patriotic?
Yeah.
That would suggest that the Rangers fans are following their numbers.
Yeah. The only caveat I would have in that is these were last year's figures, so from 2018. So
please do not throw that caveat in. We sound like somebody else from another station.
No, so these figures are from last year, so that is the most up-to-date information. And yeah, Rangers fans apparently make up the most amount of members for the Scotland Supporters Club. That is just, that's a fact.
I love statistics.
You love stats, you certainly do. Do you love taking part in Beat the Pundit, though?
Oh, yes.
How's your form been this season?
It's been outstanding. I would actually put myself up in the top two or three so far in terms of wins and losses. That's a fact. Obviously Roger Hannah will be top.
Yeah,
but I'm up there in the top two or three. I can see the producer shaking his head, but I would like to see a count up here.
You won on Friday.
I did.
Yeah, it was a tie break, but you know.
Yeah,
a win's a win.
They all count. Yeah,
I'm kind of like Scotland. Up and down, up and down. You never know how you'll find me.
Yeah, well, that's true. If you want to take part in Beat the Pundit, we will be doing it just after the news at 7 o'clock. So you can call right now, 0141 951 1025, if you want to take on Hugh or Alex. There's some very good questions tonight. I've just been looking over them. So
lovely.
It's very interesting. So I think it'll be a close one. So 0141 951 1025 if you want to get involved. You've got until the start of the news at 7 to enter. And after 7 o'clock, we'll be hearing from the new Hibs manager, Jack Ross, will be on the show. And we'll be chatting about probably Scotland again as well. But Beat the Pundit is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompsons.com. Yeah. Clyde One.
Bowie at breakfast.
With the ScottishSun.co.uk. Get all the latest football news and opinion.
Welcome along to Monday Night Show. It's Stephen Mill in for Gordon Duncan, and I'm joined in the studio by Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray. We've already chatted Scotland and whether you take a major tournament qualification over stopping 10 in a row or 9 in a row, I guess, or winning the league this season. And there'll be more of that chat later on. But it is time for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
What I've enjoyed about this so far is whenever I play that music, the two pundits on the other side of the desk, they all get a wee bit nervous. I can almost feel the sweaty palms from here. So you're all bobbing up and down. Look at yous.
You look away. You're sitting on the subs bench. Your team's losing 5-0. You're sitting thinking, don't bring me on.
Right, let's go to the lines and find out who will be taking you on tonight, either you, Hugh, or Alex, and say good evening to Darren from Kirkintilloch. How are you doing, Darren? You all right?
I'm not bad, how are you?
What are you up to tonight? Anything exciting?
I'm in work.
You're in work, what's it you doing?
Skiving.
I'm a chef.
You're a chef, you're skiving. Right, okay. Indeed. Maybe you can deliver some food off. I've not had my tea yet, so I'm fairly hungry at this moment. Who do you fancy taking on, either Hugh or Alex?
I'd love to beat Hugh.
Right, you'd love to beat Hugh. Well, you'll find out on the toss of a coin, Darren. So stick there. And,
no worries.
Hugh, you're going to be heads, and Alex, you're going to be tails. Right, so you'll find out in about... You're taking on... Alex Ray tonight, unfortunately.
No worries,
for you.
That's all right.
Toffee for you, Darren.
So it is Darren versus Alex, and Hugh is away, panting with relief in the corner, jumping for joy across there. So what we'll do is we'll put Clyde 2 in Alex's headphones so he can't hear the questions. Is that you on Clyde 2? Yes, it is. Thumbs up. Good stuff. Right, so you have 30 seconds on the clock, Darren, and you need to answer as many questions as possible. Are you ready?
Oh, here we go. Hi.
Here we go then. Your time starts now. Who scored Scotland's winning goal on Saturday?
Oh, no. Pass.
Who's the current manager of Morton?
Pass.
How many caps does Stephen Naismith have?
50.
Who did Livy beat in the 2004 League Cup final?
Oh, pass.
Which country did Alfredo Morelos score a last-minute winner against at the weekend?
Oh, this is a shambles, pass.
Who was the first Scottish team that Jack Ross managed? I don't think you would have got that, to be honest. Right, okay. So stick on the line. Stick on the line. We'll get Alex back in the room. And, Alex, you are up, okay? Are you ready?
I am, in the room.
You can hear me. Good stuff. You have 30 seconds on the clock, and your 30 seconds begin Now, who scored Scotland's winning goal on Saturday?
McGinn.
Who is the current manager of Morton?
Hopkin.
How many caps does Stephen Naismith have?
50.
Who did Livy beat in the 2004 League Cup final?
Hibs.
Which country did Alfredo Morelos score a last minute winner against at the weekend?
Peru.
Who was the first Scottish team that Jack Ross managed?
Alloa.
What is Clyde's nickname?
The Buddies.
Oh, we did it! Oh, Alex Ray.
Brilliant.
Alex Ray. Right, let's find out the answers to the questions and how we got on. Right, so question number one. Who scored Scotland's winning goal on Saturday? Darren, you had to pass this one.
Oh, that's a shocker.
That was a shocker. It was John McGinn. So
1-0. Pressure.
1-0 to Alex. Not as easy when you're live on the radio. I accept that. So question number two. Who's the current manager of Morton? You passed at that one as well, Darren. And you said...
Hopkin.
You said Hopkin is the... I'll give you that. David Hopkin is the right answer, yeah. If we're only Hoppy,
I call him Hoppy.
Oh, you call him Hoppy, of course, yeah. How many caps does Stephen Naismith have now? You both got this one right. It is, of course, 50, so that's 2-1 to Alex. Who did Livy beat in the 2004 League Cup final? You passed on that one, Darren. And Alex...
Hibs.
...is the correct answer. So you have... You're 4 out of 4 so far.
Thank you.
4 out of 4. Which country did Alfredo Morelos score a last minute winner against? It was Peru. You didn't get that one right either, I'm afraid.
This
Darren.
Is painful.
This is painful, but we have to go through it, I'm afraid. And the final question, a couple of questions. Who was the first Scottish team that Jack Ross managed?
Alloa.
It was Alloa. You got that right. So you're up to 6 now, 6-1 currently. And you managed to squeeze in the last one. What's Clyde's nickname?
It's the Bully Wee.
But you got it wrong. Yeah. So that's a hammering 6-1 victory for Alex Ray. Darren.
Oh,
no wonder you wanted to, Darren.
Dearie me. Right, okay. Well, anyway, thanks for playing,
thanks,
pal. And get back to cooking whatever it was, all right?
Hello, indeed. Cheers, guys.
Right, cheers, Darren. Thanks for being on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Beat the Pundit is back tomorrow night. It's Roger Hanna and Gordon DL. Gordon DL was victorious last week as well. So,
would he get a 2?
I think he might have got 2, actually. I think it was
no way.
He was victorious. Right, let's get back to the football then. And it was the unveiling of Jack Ross as Hibs manager a wee bit earlier on. Let's hear from the new Hibs boss.
It's about improving results to begin with, and generally supporters are pleased with winning games. Then you look at how you win games, the manner in which you're doing it. The first challenge is to make sure we start climbing above the position we're in at the moment, and then over a period of time hopefully start to do that in a really positive and attractive way. When you come in mid-season, there's not an awful lot of time to put all that in place, so there'll be small steps made at times as well, but the ultimate goal, as I said, is to produce a team that wins games and does it the right way. I was in a position where I'd obviously left Sunderland, and it was I found myself out of work, and two very attractive jobs became available at Scotland, the two very big clubs. But when the process began for this job, and I understood there was an interest, and it was very attractive to me, and ultimately that's what I wanted to do. The focus has very much been on making sure I get the maximum from what I have at the disposal at the moment. So the assessment of the squad is only really starting to take place. But what I want to do is hopefully give myself less problems in January by the fact that we're winning games regularly. I met the majority of the squad this morning, had good conversations with a lot of them. Some of them I'm familiar with, some of them I've coached, some of them I've played against, some I was meeting for the first time. So it was good to get the opportunity to do that, and excited to be getting on the grass tomorrow morning with them for the first time, and from that point that's when my proper assessment of them and understanding of them as players and people begins.
He does speak well in the media, Jack Ross, doesn't he?
Well, I was going to say to you, here we have a personable, articulate man for the 21st century, but it's not a fashion parade, it's a football contest. And he has had his ups and downs, Jack Ross. Sunderland being the down part. But in general terms, I think he is an excellent choice for Hibs. You'll know right away, Stephen, because they've got Motherwell at Easter Road at the weekend, and Stephen Robinson is a shrewdie. He has done a terrific job at Motherwell, and he will present Jack Ross with an immediate test of his credentials. But in general terms, I think Hibs have got themselves a good man.
I think it's a good appointment for Jack in terms of on the back of the Sunderland kind of episode of his career. And he's gone in there with a team. For me, he says he'll have to identify once he goes on the grass, look at the strengths and weaknesses. They are flighty for me. They're easily beaten. They concede leads. And he will have to find a player or two Within his squad now, because he doesn't have the option to bring in any loan players, and he has to find someone who can start rolling up the sleeves, because they're not at where they are for the, you know, other than the reason that they're losing too many games. And he will go in there, he'll put his ideas across. I know he's trying to get his former assistant as well, the from Sunderland,
John Potter.
Yeah, John Potter. So he's trying to get him out to try and help him along the way, because it looks Fowler's going as the director of football at Killie. So he'll be looking to get his own staff in, and he'll be looking to put his own ideas in. But I think it's a good fit for both parties.
You played with Sunderland for many years, Alex, and yeah, I'm sure you've still got friends down there. What was the sort of chat with Jack? Was it a surprise that he got sacked, or was it, you know, what was the feeling amongst the support? Because obviously things haven't really picked up since they've appointed Phil Parkinson.
Well, on the Parkinson one, it's, you know, it was a bit underwhelming, you know, because of the size of the club. In terms of Jack, I think the big thing for most people down there, I was down in Friday, with a former player, and just chatting to him was that he just drew too many games, you know, and it didn't have, I think it was 19 draws or something last year. It was a lot of draws within a calendar year, a season rather. And it was just, you know, getting into the new season, I think they lost to Lincoln and so forth. So, you know, it got the grace, it got the backing of the board. And financially, you know, when you look at some of the players that they signed over that period, you know, he was kind of backed from that aspect. But listen, it's a new chapter for him. That door's closed. I think he'll be a better manager for it, because he's managed a big, big club in Sunderland, averaging about 30,000 to 35,000 fans. And he's getting into one of the top five clubs in Scotland. You know, obviously, you know, Hibs and Hearts, Aberdeen would all be vying for a third or fourth spot.
Well, that leads me on to my next question. Where can he take Hibs? How far can he realistically this season push up the table?
Well, I mean, if he finishes top six, job done. The highest anyone can go is third now, because Celtic and Rangers will always be first and second, and perhaps not necessarily in that order, but the highest you can go is third.
Yeah.
So if you finish top six, that's a good start. He's got decent players. Scott Allen, Stevie Mallon, Camberry. Try playing two up front. You know, his predecessor.
You missed one out there, Hugh, the boy Doidges. One of your favourites.
Try playing two up front. But I mean, if Doidge and Camberry can work up front, then do it. You know, they weren't adventurous enough under Paul Heckenbottom. As Alex said, they were far too easily beaten. They have a soft centre. Yes. They have an inclination to collapse if all is not going well. And that's why I say Motherwell are the perfect starting off point for you, because they'll come, having already beaten Hearts in Edinburgh this season, they'll come looking for a capital punishment mark two. It's a good start for Jack.
And Stephen Robinson, as you mentioned, a very shrewd manager, and that's why he's caught the eye of Anne Budge and the rest of the Hearts board. It looks like they're going to take their time. Austin McPhee probably will be in charge for their match against Kilmarnock at the weekend. And in terms of where Hearts go from here, is the fact that Hibs have made their appointment this quickly and this early, does that put any more pressure on Hearts to...
Yeah, not for me. I think they have a different approach. They are looking to bring in a... It's not a director of football, but they're looking to bring
sporting director.
Sven-Goran Eriksson being linked.
Listen, Sven's race is run. They need to get someone who's forward thinking. They need to get someone with a wee bit more youthful on their side. I think that will be the process for me. I think the way Hearts will go, they will bring that appointment first, and then they will bring a manager. And I think with Austin being there, I think on the back of getting a result against St Mirren, you know, it's a safe pair of hands going forward. But I don't think there's any rush on the back of what Hibs do.
The important thing for Hearts, who are down at the bottom along with Hibs, is to get Mr. Right. Not Mr. Right Now, just Mr. Right, because Craig Levein wasn't a success. Ian Cathro wasn't a success. They haven't looked consistent enough. Robbie Nielsen was the last one who had a level of consistency with them when he was the manager there. So they need to be careful. And also, this sporting director, he has to come in before the manager. Therefore, Austin McPhee will be there just to keep things afloat. Not expected to do wonders, just keep it on an even keel.
There's been suggestions that Austin may well be a candidate for that, but if you listen to his post-match last week, for me, he's trying to seduce the board a bit with his statistics. You know, I think it's at 4 out of 5 as interim manager he's won. So I think he's looking more to be the manager, but I'm led to believe he does so much behind the scenes that could potentially be an option also.
The bottom line, Stephen, is that the city of Edinburgh, the capital of this country, has two teams who ought to be top six guaranteed every season, and they have fallen by the wayside so far this season.
I think potentially they could get to the top six. I think the three point either or.
It's fairly tight. It's
not.
It's not
3 points. I think Hearts are 3 points behind, and I think Hibs are 2 points behind Ross County. So that's no a big ask for me. If you're getting a new manager and you'd expecting him to at least leapfrog the Livingston and Ross County.
A couple of other names that were linked with Hearts as well. Stuart McCall, apparently interviewed over the weekend. Neil McCann as well. He's obviously been out of work since he left Dundee. Neil Warnock, he'd be an interesting choice, wouldn't he?
I think it'd be great for us, Hugh. He's guaranteed a quote or two.
He's a promotion specialist in England. I think he took six different teams up or something ridiculous like that. Yes. I would have to support Neil Warnock because of the ageist argument. You know, they're going for the old guy. But I don't think he'll get it. And I, having said that, I couldn't give you an absolute guarantee of who will get it. But Anne Budge has to get it right. She really does.
Profile, what was it? Profile and stature.
And experience.
Experience, yes. So they were the criteria, she said.
Neil Warnock would get it hands down then. But I just don't think you can sell Neil Warnock to the Hearts fans.
Yeah, probably not. We'll keep an eye on that. One final thing about Hibs before we move on, which was, it's already been, it's almost inevitable this was going to be linked, but Lewis Morgan to Hibs. So he's not really getting a game for Celtic at the moment, but he can get called up to the Scotland squad. But it's obviously with Jack Ross at St Mirren previously, had him there, and it looks like that's going to be all the chatting between now and January.
Listen, I think he took him down to Sunderland for a period as well. He knows him from his St Mirren days. I know Lewis. Look, it's actually a crying shame that, you know, that he isn't playing football on a weekly basis, because his development would more without doubt accelerate if he was playing on a weekly basis, and it would make sense for Celtic to put him to Hibs. Now Hibs have done that, Celtic's done that with Christie up at Aberdeen. So if you could get him playing, it might accelerate his career and give him a better chance if he does come back in time to Celtic.
In January, I couldn't see anything wrong with that, with the usual proviso that Celtic don't allow him to play against Celtic.
You mentioned Ryan Christie there. He's a perfect example of somebody who came from a smaller club in Inverness, so he found it hard to break into the Celtic team at that time, but then went away for about 18 months to Aberdeen, wasn't he? He was there for a season and a half. And look at him now. He's probably, arguably, the most effective player and been the best player in the Premiership this season.
I think Ayer went to Kilmarnock as well for a period. It helped him no ends, and you look where he is now. So I think if you get them, they're not playing regular for you, get them out and play games. It gives them a chance to kind of grow the development, and it will allow them to come back better rounded players and fight for a place at either Rangers or Celtic.
Yep, can't argue with that. Yep. He was there for a full season at Rugby Park, Chris Ayer. And look what he's doing now in a Celtic strip.
Yeah, he's doing very well. I've got the teaser coming up, and I might give you it before the break, actually, before we go into the break and break with tradition.
It's not that bad, is it?
It's a good one. It's all about Scotland tonight, obviously, because we're building up to the game against Kazakhstan tomorrow. But it's a good one, and I'll give you that in just a couple of seconds' time. But in terms of just going back to Scotland for a second, we've had so many people getting in touch in terms of the debate between club and country, and Joe is not a popular man. He was on earlier on suggesting that he would give up the title, but there is just so many people disagreeing with him, as you said, Hugh. And I'm sure that if anyone wants to get in touch, by the way, it's 0141 951 1025, and it does seem to be that it's particular in this part of the world, as you always say, Hugh. It is different, despite the fact my stats from the Scotland Supporters Club suggest otherwise.
It's a cultural phenomenon here. You've got Rangers who, in their last published accounts, recorded an £11 million loss. They are currently willing to throw all sorts of money at the team, and they will do so in January in the interest of stopping nine in a row. You've got Celtic, and you have to believe that Peter Lawwell, the chief executive at Celtic, understands the significance of nine in a row every bit as much as all of the Celtic fans who are on Twitter right now to you.
At Clyde SSB, if you want to get in touch, by the way.
And that's why we are a cultural phenomenon. This is everything to the people who support Celtic and Rangers. And I don't think 5% of them, Celtic and Rangers supporters, would swap the league title this season for Scotland qualifying for Euro 2020.
Now, you mentioned the transfer window coming up, but there has been lots of gossip. We're hitting that time of the year when it's running up to Christmas, and all the managers around Europe are getting their Christmas wish list together as well. Odson Edouard is a man who is going to feature very highly, it seems, if you believe the papers we had today. Yeah. Roma, Napoli apparently interested in him, but scared off by Celtic's valuation of him.
But who has put a valuation on him? I mean, I don't recall Celtic coming out and saying, we value Odson Edouard at X million. So who is putting the valuation on his head?
Well, yeah, I seen the reports this morning. I thought it was just trying to make up stories to sell papers there this morning, Hugh. They were actually saying that they weren't in the price range. You know, why even throw it in there if they weren't in the price range? How do you know that they're actually in the ballpark for Edward or Morelos or anyone else?
You'll know when a figure is put on the table and Peter Lowell says, ah, now let's talk about this. But until such times as someone puts a figure officially to Celtic, it's speculation.
We will discuss this more next, and we'll get the teaser on as well, because I've actually ran out of time before the break. So 01419511025, Clyde One Super Scoreboard continues next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompsons.com.
Welcome back to the show. It's Alex Ray, Hugh Evans with me, Stephen Mill tonight on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Right, let's get the teaser up and running between now and 8 o'clock. And it is a good one. It's an international one, and I'm going to even chuck you a wee bone as well. So this is a good one. Thanks to Ian for sending this in. We don't know where you're from, but you are Ian. So thank you for sending this. 12 players are on the Scottish national team roll of honour that have never played for either of the Old Firm sides.
You've just killed me.
When they won their caps. When they won their caps. So that's the wee caveat there. So for example,
Alex McLeish
is correct.
Willie Miller.
Wait a minute, he's a caveat.
For example, Alan Ruff is on the list, as he won all his caps at Partick Thistle and Hibs. He did play for Celtic, but that was after his last cap. So Hugh, you've already got two there, which are Alex McLeish and
Paul Sturrock
is an incorrect answer.
Malpass.
Maurice Malpass, from the same village as me, is a correct answer.
Brilliant.
Won all his caps.
What have we got so far?
So you've got three, you have nine to get at Clyde SSB. So it is players who are in the Hall of Fame, over 50 caps for Scotland, who have never played for either Celtic or Rangers whilst they won their caps. Okay, so that's the caveat. You've already got Alex McLeish, Willie Miller and Maurice Malpass.
There are
some very famous names on this list, and Joe Jordan is one of them. Played with Leeds United, Manchester United and AC Milan. 52 caps between 1973 and 1982. We'll take one more and then we'll cut it off for there. Any guesses, lads?
Asa Hartford.
Hugh Evans, you are on fire. You are absolutely on fire. Asa Hartford won 50 caps for Scotland between 1972 and 1982. West Brom, Manchester City and Everton. Right, we'll cut it there. There are still seven to get by my estimation. And you can get in touch at Clyde SSB if you want to give us a shout on Twitter. And I'll just repeat the question one more time so that you've got it in your head. It is 12 players on the national Scottish team at the Roll of Honour, so over 50 caps in the Hall of Fame, that have never played for either half of the Old Firm when they won their caps. So we already have, just to discount these, Asa Hartford, Joe Jordan, Maurice Malpass, Willie Miller and Alex McLeish. If you have any suggestions, by the way, for another teaser, it's fulltime@clyde1.com if you want to get in touch, just like Ian did with that one there. If you want to get involved with this, it's at Clyde SSB. But let's go back to the lines and speak to Kenny, who is a Rangers fan from Cardonald. Welcome to the show, Kenny. What's your point?
Good evening, Alex. Good evening,
Kenny.
Hugh.
Hi, Kenny.
I know it's a sort of it's a weekly event now. We discussed Morelos and Edward. Since Morelos scored his first international goal at the weekend, don't you think his stock is rising even more? And I feel that Edward, we know he's worth a lot of money, but the fact that $9 million was paid for him, to me, seems to exaggerate what the end result's going to be, as opposed to Morelos, who's a relative cheap buy. I'd like to know what you think about this.
They're both worth a fortune, to Celtic and Rangers. They will both go, I think, in the summertime. And they will be gone for what somebody thinks they're worth. You know, every player is sold for what somebody else thinks he's worth. My evaluation of Edouard and or Morelos is irrelevant. It's what a club is willing to throw at them.
Yeah. I appreciate that, Hugh. If you were the headmaster here and you're doing a half-term report this year, not based on what they were bought for, who would you be giving the pass marks to, or the highest score to at the moment?
It's a difficult one, that, because for me, that they're pretty much level pegging right now. I know this is a much favoured argument for Celtic and Rangers supporters, and they go on and on and on and on. The irony of it all for me is that you're both talking about players who, if you keep talking them up in this manner and they keep playing as they are playing, they won't be with your club next season. They'll be off in the summer, and I think both of them will be.
What are we talking, an A-plus or a B-plus? Well, or
A-plus for the pair of them, but it'll keep everybody happy.
I think when partly the end game that Hugh talks about in the summer, if it's an English Premiership club, you are asking for a lot more than other leagues out with that, because they have money to burn. I spoke to a English Premiership manager in Portugal in July, and he says he was picking up the phone. He was talking about the first offer. He says it's a minimum of £15 million. Every time you pick up to ask a player, Hugh, 15 million quid, and that's a starter for 10.
Yeah.
This guy went on to spend 140 odd million this summer. So, you know, they've got money to burn. In terms of where they are, if you're talking about out and out goals, Morelos obviously would be your first pick. But in terms of general all round, I think Morelos is slightly behind Edouard because of other players are coming into contention, like Forrest, Christie, and so forth. So, but in terms of the way the two of them are actually playing, the two of them are at the top of their game. And, you know, I think the both Rangers and Celtic will command massive fees for them because they are flying, and goal scorers don't grow in trees.
As soon as I saw that Alfredo Morelos had scored for Peru against Peru in Florida, I thought, at one point next week on the programme, someone's going to say,
well done, Kenny.
Does this put up Morelos's transfer value? And, you know, you can't have it both ways. You know, Celtic supporters can't say, oh, well, Edouard scored for France, therefore
10 goals in 5 games for the under-21s, yeah. Edouard.
Therefore, the international goals come into the equation. Morelos is having an outstanding season. Edouard is your big occasion player and is also having a terrific season. They will be much missed, the pair of them, when they go in the summertime.
Don't you think, Hugh, though, that some managers have never heard of Morelos, then they look and see, oh, who's this boy that scored international here, and then suddenly check up on him?
I think Morelos is known to a wider audience now. I mean, our game is looked at on a fairly widespread basis.
In the Europa League, I think he'll probably attract a few attention.
It's 11, isn't it? Yeah. 11.
So he scored a lot of goals. What do you think, Kenny? Are you sort of crying at the prospect? Do you think he'll be away definitely in the summer?
I think he'll. I'm 100% confident he'll stay to the summer, but I think they're going to get the offer you can't refuse.
Yeah. Or you stay until the summer, because Steven Gerrard is already on record as saying he's going nowhere in the January transfer window, and Rangers would need to be insane to let him go in the January transfer window, because they would literally jeopardise their chances of winning the title unless somebody came in and made the offer, not the offer that you can't turn down, the offer that you can't understand.
Yeah.
And if that happens, then, you know, Dave King has a decision to make. But
a riot in his hand with the fans.
Well, this is a hypothetical conversation, so I'll give you a hypothetical scenario. Supposing somebody came in and offered 30 million.
No.
Not even for that.
So you're saying if 30 million.
Well, I had the same conversation, something along the 25 to 30 million, Hugh, for either Edouard or Morelos. I had this with my good pal Davey Farrell, and he says because of the Celtic model, he felt as if they would possibly take that. For me, I was the opposite. I didn't think either team could afford to take that, because see if it's 30 in January, 25, 30 in January, there will be offers in the summer because of the job that they're currently doing. So that was my take on it.
Again, I stress that this is a hypothetical conversation. It's a good bit of fun. And I'm glad that Kenny on the line is taking it in good part.
Yeah.
However, if somebody came in and said to Rangers, £30 million for Alfredo Morelos, given their business model at the moment, the shape of their business model at the moment, they would be much criticised by business people if they did not take money on that level. And if you said, ah, but we have to stop Celtic, we're in the league, then the business brains would say, what?
That's a very good point, Hugh. You just listened to Kenny's response when he says, oh, 25, and he went, oh, there'll be a riot in his hands. So there's a business element, and then yeah, there's a fan's reaction to there's these
always,
things. So
there's always economics on one side and emotion on the other. Fans are emotional and they don't care about economics.
Can I just say one final thing, Hugh?
Yeah.
Are you contracted for the next 5 years or the next 10 years? Are we going to see an 80th, Hugh?
Well, you know, I'm still in talks with Big Lorraine, you know, so...
Put it this way, if somebody offers £30 million for Hugh...
he's on his toes in January.
You can rely on it. If somebody offers £30 million for me, it'll be £30 million lira.
As long as somebody's there to run you home at night.
And he's standing beside me now.
Yes.
Thank you very much, Kenny. Cheers, thank you. And just another side note, I read at the weekend that Alfredo Morelos, his partner's actually pregnant. So if he's born here, if it is a he, then that could be the answer to our striking problems in about 18 years' time. I mean, it's all coming together. He just needs to be born here. So if he stays until next summer, that's all fine. It's all coming back to the national
and
team.
And by that time, you'll be standing here on Super Scoreboard saying, well, it's 40 years since we've qualified for a tournament. But
Alfie's boys in town.
Archie Morelos is coming through the ranks. So back to the teaser. We've got lots of answers coming in. Let me try and find some incorrect ones. So I'll just repeat it for you in case you missed it. So it's players who have over 50 caps for Scotland, i.e. in the team role of honour, that have never played for either half of the Old Firm when they won their caps. So you already had Asa Hartford, Joe Jordan, Maurice Malpass, Willie Miller and Alex McLeish. There is a few other
Dennis Law.
Only correct answers, and Dennis Law is another correct answer because he has 55 caps, Huddersfield Town, Manchester City, Torino and Manchester United.
David Neary
is an incorrect answer. He did not get 50 caps.
John Robertson, I don't mean the Hearts one, the one that was at Nottingham Forest. Yeah.
John Robertson is not on the list.
Eddie Gray
is a great answer, but it's not on the list.
Gordon
McQueen is not on the list.
So it's 50 caps, Hugh.
Other incorrect
Fletcher.
Answers.
Darren Fletcher
is a correct answer. 80 caps, Manchester United, West Brom and Stoke. We've got a couple of incorrect answers coming in. Joe Harper is not a correct answer. He does not make that list. Any other guesses before we move on? You've done actually quite well. And the ones that are left
Are doable.
They are very doable. They're big names in Scottish football. Yeah. I've got over 50 caps for Scotland, surprisingly enough.
Trying to think who they are.
So you've got Asa Hartford, Joe Jordan, Maurice Malpass, Dennis Law, Willie Miller, Alex McLeish, Darren Fletcher so far.
McKimmy.
Stuart McKimmy is another cracking answer.
But wrong.
But again, it's the wrong answer. Yeah, it's the wrong answer.
I'll need to pull you up your pronunciation.
Asa.
Oh, is it Asa?
Asa. He was named after Al Jolson.
Oh, really?
Whose real name was Asa Jolson. And his father was an Al Jolson fan, and he named Asa.
See? Hugh, this is why you're worth the big money. This is why you're here, Hugh.
It's worth 30 mil.
If you want to get in touch, it is at Clyde SSB on Twitter, I should say. And if you want to give us a call as well, it is 0141 951 1025. We're just having a chat about Morelos and Odson Edward. This is a topic that comes up all the time on Super Scoreboard, as we predicted a little
bit. It's harmless fun.
It is. But I think, you know, Kenny, who was on there, had a good point. If you can show, like Morelos has this season, that you can score in the Europa League, which is not the highest level in Europe, but it's still a very good level, and you can score an international level, then that surely punch your price up. Just a wee bit.
I don't think there's any doubt that both of them will fetch terrific money. I'm just mildly amused that they're always...
It's the bragging rights again, to see who's the most expensive striker.
Everything is about the bragging rights. You know, we've touched upon it all night long with regard to Scotland and qualification for Euro 2020, or would you rather win the league? Everything is about the bragging rights, and
They are both worth a fortune to Celtic and Rangers, and we will miss the pair of them when they're no longer part of Scottish football, which will be in about 7 or 8 months' time.
I'm trying to think of this this quiz. It's got me going.
Neil's given us a shout on Twitter. Just quickly run through to make sure it's okay to read out. Hugh, regarding the Morelos debate on selling for 30 million, no, in capital letters. He stays, and if Rangers win the league, possible Champions League, that's 20 million plus the money. They can still sell him in the summer, and if he stayed, he'll become a Rangers great.
Well, there are three ifs there. If Rangers win the league, if Rangers qualify for the Champions League, and if Alfredo Morelos is interested in staying, because he's forever telling the folks back home in Colombia that he's off to a bigger league, first chance he gets.
Well, we'll find out in the summer. We'll also wrap up the teaser next. I'll give you a couple of wrong answers before we move on. Christian Daly is not a correct answer, and neither is Colin Hendry. It's players who have over 50 caps for Scotland and have never played for either half of the Old Firm whilst they won their caps. Clyde One Super Scoreboard continues next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
We are back for the final part of the show. It is Stephen Mill in for Gordon Duncan with Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans in the studio. The teaser is really going everywhere on at Clyde SSB if you want to get involved. It is players who have over 50 caps for Scotland but have never played for either half of the Old Firm whilst they won their cap. So I'll run through some wrong answers. Hugh and Alex got a couple of right answers during the break there. Some wrong answers for you. Colin Calderwood is incorrect. Thank you to whoever put that in. Alan Gilzean is not the correct answer. And the rest are all right answers, so they're all ahead of you. The two you got during the break, Alex Ray, you got Jim Leighton.
Yes, old bandy legs.
Yes, who had 91 caps for Scotland between 1982 and 1998. Played with Aberdeen, Manchester United,
Billy
and
Bremner.
And Billy Bremner was the answer that you got, Hugh. 54 caps for Scotland, played with Leeds United, and 1965 to 1975. So you have three to get. I think that you'll get two of them. And
I like your optimism.
Very, very quickly, someone has already got it. Colin's already got the hard one, that I think, on at Clyde SSB on Twitter.
Is it Don Hutchison?
Don Hutchison is not the correct answer.
Is it Don Masson?
It isn't Don Masson.
Is it Don Corleone?
It's not Don Corleone, unfortunately not. Do you want a wee clue? Or do you want some clues?
Yes.
Do you want positions?
Is it Bruce Rioch?
It's not Bruce Rioch. So
one
of them is a midfielder. The other one is a striker. And the other one is a midfielder.
Kevin Gallagher.
Alex Ray.
Do you know what? I had him in my mind earlier on. It's just come right back there. Brilliant.
You know what? Wrong. A fantastic answer. Played with Dundee United, Coventry, Blackburn and Newcastle. Won 53 caps for Scotland between 1988 and 2001.
Did we mention Martin Birkin?
Martin Buchan is an incorrect answer.
I used to get my Pumas. I used to work for Puma Ham here. Oh. I know it's a trivial nonsense, but there you go.
Did he get
used to give me the Puma Kings.
Wee discounts.
Freebie, son. Oh. Oh, no, I used to pay for them, I mean, just in case anybody's listening.
I'm guessing that Colin from Pollock would not be pleased if Alfredo Morelos left for a freebie. He is on the line right now on Clyde One Super Scoreboard. What's your question for the panel, Colin?
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good, Colin.
What my point is it's a debate about Alfredo Morelos going for like £30 million. In my opinion, if there's guys like Ollie McBurney getting bought for £20 million, then I don't see any reason why players like Morelos and Edward can't get an asking price of £40 million. The money that is in the Premiership and even the Championship right now is phenomenal. And these guys are doing it on a big stage.
I think the Celtic and Rangers supporters are in agreement with you. However, a lot of people have a prejudice built in, and that is, and they're doing it in Scotland. And the international goals from Odson Edouard are under 21 level, and Morelos has scored his first goal for Colombia. One.
These guys are playing up on a European stage as well.
Yeah, and you can't belittle the European stage because, Rangers and Celtic did great things last time out. Celtic in Rome against Lazio, Rangers against Porto. It'll come down to what people are willing to pay. You know, we're throwing about...
Me personally, I think £30-40 million for any player is just crazy money. That is just crazy money.
Yeah.
But in today's market, I think that if you're going to be throwing money about like £20 million for Ollie McBurnie, who I don't rate as a player, I think he's rotten. But if you're going to put Ollie McBurnie, Morelos and Edward in the same bracket, then these Edward and Morelos are 3, 4, 5 times the player as McBurnie is.
Yeah, you have to hope.
I don't see why you can't get more money for these other two guys than what you're going to get for the likes of McBurnie.
Yeah, English football is awash with money and they're all mad. I mean, Manchester United have brought out their figures today and they've got debts of over £350 million. I mean, how can this be sustainable? But they've got the money, television contracts, they've got the money. I think there's a level. At the weekend, there was a story that Crystal Palace were interested in Odson Edouard. It's the English Premier League. He might fancy it, he might not.
For me, both Arsenal for them need to base ourselves on Ajax. Ajax hold out for big money for their players like Dillett. They're holding out for big money.
Mm-hmm.
I think the whole firm should be holding out for big money for their star assets. And I personally think £40 million for each of their players is a doable asking fee.
Colin, I think one of the issues with the Ajax model, which you've just mentioned there, is these guys were competing in the Champions League final, you know, and I think that's it's a different kind of proposition altogether. And when you look at them, they're very technical as well. But going back to your original point in terms of where Scotland sell players at, it was broken £20 million for Dembele a couple of years ago. It's went up to £25 million more recently with Kieran Tierney. And when you look at other leagues, say Belgium, Greece and so forth, there's a ceiling. Mm. Now, that is creeping up all the while, Hugh, because of demand. And you tend to find that these leagues only attract a certain ceiling. Now, again, if there's two or three clubs in, you may well get more. And I think if Rangers and Celtic were to sell these guys, it would benefit them if there was three or four clubs fighting for them, because they're more likely to actually throw a few quid on top more. But and I think it's partly to do with the level. And that is no disrespect to your game, because you're looking at with teams like Hamilton, Livingston, St Johnston, you know, and they have to factor all that in. But I think in terms of this year in isolation, you look at the Edouard scoring against some top teams in Europe as well, as well as Morelos, and I think that raises their profile, as it has done for Rangers and Celtic.
There has to be a built-in guarantee for Celtic and Rangers that they will be able to get somebody, if not directly comparable with Edouard and Morelos, he better come very close to it, because supporters will say, well, if you get in good money, you better put good money out to get somebody who is the equal of these guys.
Well, Colin, I mean, you mentioned the guy himself, £20 million. You could you get two Ollie McBurnies for that, couldn't you, Colin?
Oh, you can get 20 Ollie McBurnies for that.
So I'm guessing you wouldn't fancy him as a replacement for Morelos then, no?
No chance. I wouldn't put him in a Raith Rovers team, never mind a Scotland team.
I mean, look at Oliver Burke as well. You know, he's been all over the shop.
Mm-hmm.
And his transfer fees come to over £30 million so far. You know, in the end up at Celtic, couldn't even get a game because he didn't deserve to play.
Yeah. Thank you. Do you want to come
back
in? On you go, Colin.
I think, see, clubs that are going to be looking at Morelos and Edward, I think they need to look at the potential that these guys have got as well, because they're still young.
Absolutely.
If you're going a few years back, Man United bought Ronaldo for £18 million back in the day, because they've seen potential.
Uh-huh.
Surely these two guys have got bucket loads of potential.
That's why recruitment directors are so important.
Yes.
You know, Celtic got Moussa Dembele from Fulham for £500,000 and sold them for £20 million.
Mm-hmm.
Morelos cost Rangers, I believe, £1 million.
Yes.
And will sell them for whatever.
A lot more.
Yeah.
A lot more. I think it was £12 million Cristiano Ronaldo signed for Manchester United. The point
principle's the same. You know, you look at Van Dijk's a classic example. You buy him for £12 million, then sell him for £75 million. So whoever buys him will be looking to then cash in further down the line, because they've got so much more development.
Right, Colin, thank you very much for your call. We are rapidly approaching the end of the show. We need to wrap up this teaser. So you've got two to get. It's players who've got more than 50 caps for Scotland, never played for the Old Firm while they won their caps. You've got most of them. One of them captained Scotland 32 times and won 57 caps. The other one captained Scotland 5 times and won 50 caps.
And the first one, or the last one there that I just mentioned, scored at a major tournament for Scotland as well. You don't have long left, lads. You're looking at me puzzled with your faces, but you're going to have to...
Striking?
Is a correct answer. Oh. Yes, Aberdeen, Manchester United and Leeds United.
Lovely.
50 caps, so he counts. And one.
Can't believe we never get wee striking without a clue. Come on, Hugh.
Be on the phone. Give us the clue again about the last one.
So he captained his country 32 times and he won 57 caps. Do you want
it's
me to give
be your era.
Do you want me to give you teams? We have Leicester City, Leeds United and Coventry.
Gary McAllister.
It's currently the Rangers assistant manager and it is Gary McAllister. Mack. That is tonight's teaser and that is it for tonight's Clyde One at Super Scoreboard. My thanks go to, as ever, Alex Ray and Hugh Keevings, the victorious Alex Ray when it
Thank
comes to
much.
Beat the Pundit as well. We are back tomorrow night with all the build up to the Scotland game. We will be at Hampden as well. Our reporter will be there and we will give you all the team news as it comes in as well. We're on air from 6. We'll be taking your calls. 0141 951 1. 1025 is a number. It's Stephen Mill in for Gordon Duncan. Have a lovely Monday night, folks.
Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.